Nebraska men's basketball has been on a tear. After losing six in a row, they have now torn off the other direction, winning four in a row. And we're going to see how long that can keep going. But to break down, especially last night's game, we've got Wilson Moore from the Omaha World Herald. Wilson, how are you doing this morning? Welcome into Husker Max today.
Thank you for having me, Caleb. I'm doing great.
All right. So that crowd last night, besides booing children wearing Chiefs gear, there was a little bit of juice in the arena, and Nebraska got down, but then Alpha Bryce took back over late in the game. Nebraska started to get to the free throw line, got past 20 free throws, made 18, while Ohio State only shot 15. What was your biggest takeaway or a couple of takeaways from that game last night for the men to extend that winning streak to four games?
I think a big part of it, you know, you mentioned Bryce Williams. Nebraska all season long has gone as he has gone. You know, I think one of the driving factors in this now four-game winning streak is Bryce Williams has played like a stud in all four of those games, really beginning with overtime against Illinois when he took control. And then we saw it again yesterday where there's 4 minutes left. I think the game was tied or close to tied, and Nebraska just had the best player on the floor. Bryce Williams, you know, gets downhill, gets to his little spot like in the paint, easy jumper, gets the line two or three times after that. They just had the guy that they knew they wanted to get the ball in the hands of, and he delivered. You know, I think that's been one of the biggest, if not the biggest factor of this four-game winning streak, is Bryce Williams is back to looking like the guy that we saw in November and December.
Wilson, the thing that I keep going back to, the Washington victory and that come from behind victory on the road, and then yesterday as well, there was a, during that, it, really the beginning of that losing streak that Nebraska had, Fred talking post-game, not about the effort, but the toughness. And I think people had to throw the difference between what he's actually talking about and a lot of those 50-50 opportunities that was just eluding Nebraska, where they were essentially being out-toughed in a lot of those games, and especially those close games. Yesterday, it was hard not to notice Nebraska flipping the switch right there. Hard to not notice guys like Andrew Morgan all over the floor and that toughness factor that Fred has talked about. I don't know how much you can coach that, but it seems like if there was a message that Fred was sending during that time, that this team received that message rather successfully.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think guys hit the deck for loose balls like five or six times last night. You know, Fred said it was the play of the game, the play when Andrew Morgan poked the ball away from Aaron Bradshaw and dove for it, ended up getting rewarded with a layup. Raleigh Wooster went like parallel to the ground at one point to try to save a ball from going out of bounds. I think about, there was a moment in the first half, Sam Hoiberg, who is listed at a 6 feet even, went up and pulled down a rebound like among the trees, like not like getting to a loose ball, like he boxed out and got above the 7 footers under the basket to get a rebound. Yeah, and that's just toughness, and that's what this Nebraska team has to be built on. You know, Fred Hoiberg has said it all year long, but especially since like the Creighton game, that, you know, this isn't a team that's gonna like outskill a whole lot of teams. No, this isn't last year's team that had just five three-point shooters on the floor at a given time. They got to get after it on the boards. They got to make the hustle plays. They got to be tougher than other teams. And yeah, they got away from that in January, and I think we've seen them get back to that over the past four games.
Up through that six-game losing streak, Nebraska did not beat a single team as long as the opponent shot at least 40% from deep. And now back-to-back games, the opponent has shot exactly 40% from deep. What are you seeing from this team defensively to take away the three and away over the course of the season, but then also offensively be able to handle a team who is shooting good from 3-point range, that they can get back over the hump and like last night shot 51% on their own end of the floor?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to, like, I generally try not to attribute things to like the kind of mental intangible side of things. But, you know, Fred has talked about how, you know, I think it was the Illinois game when Illinois made shots, Nebraska kept guarding. Whereas, you know, in previous games that, you know, shoulders would slump a little bit, guys would hang their heads, and there'd be kind of a hangover off of these, you know, possessions if they played good defense and still allowed a tough shot. I don't think we see that. And, you know, rebounding is a big thing, you know. I think they've won the glass in the past three games. That's huge, like I said, you know, for a team that's not going to make a ton of threes themselves. And, you know, just if you're going to allow teams to shoot a lot of threes, which as we've seen from Nebraska, they do, you know, that's this team's defense. Opponents are going to shoot three-pointers. Sometimes they're going to make them. But if you're going to allow them to shoot that many threes, you got to be able to box out and end those possessions, not give them any more chances than they already have. Nebraska's done a good job of that.
Wilson, this win last night doesn't come without obviously some concern, and with Burke Biechtengel's injury, and that looked pretty nasty. Him being helped off, it, and as Fred talked about after the game too, that he could definitely miss some time with Maryland coming in with as big as their front court is too. There's maybe some options there when it comes to a lot of shuffling of the lineup. Even when Berkey was healthy, I started wondering what this lineup might look like for however long Biechtengel is out. Where would you maybe start to look at guys that are going to maybe have bigger roles, bigger minutes, and obviously having to play a little bit smarter now too, being down one big guy who was really coming into his own too?
Yeah, you know, I think the obvious choice is Braxton Mia, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's this guy who started the first 20 something games of the season, didn't play for two games, has been back, you know, I wouldn't say in the rotation over the past three, but has gotten kind of spot minutes in the first half, and I think he's played well against Oregon, against Washington, and against against Ohio State. I think Nebraska's going to need more from him. You know, he obviously has a very different skill set from Berke. You know, he's not the shooter, he's not the passer Berke is, but he can protect the rim. He can get rebounds. He's a big body. We saw him. Contribute offensively the other day. He had 5 points in 7 minutes, including hitting some free throws, which were an issue for him early in the season. So I think Braxton Mia is the obvious place you look to. Now, whether that's starting or coming off the bench, that's to be determined. You know, you can make a case for Andrew Morgan starting at the five. I'm not sure you can play the two of them together. I don't think they have this year. I'm just not sure you can get the kind of spacing you need in today's game with the two of them on the floor together. But I think those two in kind of a timeshare at the center with obviously, you know, more minutes from Mia than we've seen over the past few games, just out of necessity.
Do you think we can get 40 minutes between the two of those and whatever it would be, 25 for Andrew Morgan? It was only 7 minutes last night for Braxton Mia, and it was a really efficient 7 minutes for him. And he played really, really well. I actually think he could have scored more if Berke would have passed him the freaking ball in the paint, but that's its own thing. Can you get 25 and 15, a split on the minutes between those two at the five, or is there going to have to be some time, obviously, if there's foul trouble, where you're going to have to go pretty small ball across the lineup against this team on Thursday?
I mean, I think you have to get 40 minutes out of them. I don't know that, you know, maybe there are teams that you can get weird against with, you know, someone, I don't even know, like Jawan Gary at 6'6" at the five. I don't know that you can do that against anyone in the Big Ten. I'm just spitballing here, but I think, especially against Maryland, with as big as that team is, throwing Derek Queen and Julian Reese at teams, I think you need size in there. And I think you need one of those guys on the floor at all times if Berke is out. And I think that goes back to what we were just talking about. Like, you got to play smart. You know, if you're Andrew Morgan or Braxton Mia, you can't pick up two fouls in the first 7 minutes. You know, that's just going to put you behind the eight ball against a team as strong and tough as Maryland.
Offensively, going back to Bryce and what he did, especially in that key stretch there at the end of the first half where you've got three guys in foul trouble and all of a sudden that offense is squarely on him. Is there any, as we're in February now, we're reaching the midway point of February. Gosh, conference tournament's going to be here before we know it. Is there concern on your part at all, Wilson, that he's taken on too much of that role, that those legs start going out, that jump shot starts to maybe fall a little bit short because he is taking on too much? And if that's the case, in this final stretch before we get to the postseason here, who is, in your opinion, one or even two guys that are going to be those complementary pieces that need to be there every night?
Yeah, you know, I think it's always a concern, you know, not even necessarily for Bryce specifically, but just kind of everyone at this point in the season. You know, like I remember last year, people were saying just, you know, everyone's banged up this time of year. You know, no one's completely healthy. Everyone's tired. Everyone's kind of in that final kick, you know, about a month until conference tournament time. So I think that's always just kind of a natural thing. I don't know how much it's a concern for Bryce specifically more than anyone else. But to your other question of complementary pieces, I'll give you two, and they're guys with opposite offensive games. One is Jawan Gary. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen over the past few games, especially like Washington and Oregon, what he can do as a scorer and the dimension he brings, you know, the toughness of a guy who says, I'm going to get to the basket. I'm going to let people bounce off of me and finish in a kind of unorthodox way off a weird foot at the rim. And the other is Connor Asegin. And Asegin, you know, on a team that so badly needs shooting and has been inconsistent from beyond the arc, Asegin is the guy who can take the lid off the basket. You know, there have been a few games already this year where shots haven't been falling and he's come off the bench, hit a couple threes, and just kind of loosened things up for everybody. And, you know, I think we saw it in the non-con. We haven't quite seen it as much in conference play, just that game where he catches fire and hits 7 3-pointers, you know. Yeah. But we know, you know, everyone who watches knows Connor Asegin is capable of that. And there's a good chance that on a given night that can happen. So I think, you know, if you figure Bryce Williams has to be Nebraska's constant, then I think those two guys are the guys who can kind of elevate that offense to another level.
This team was looking just a couple of weeks ago at the potential of missing the Big Ten tournament. Now, sitting at 8th in the league, which would give them a bye away from that first day. And they would put them in the 8-9 game. They would take on whoever is the one seed when it gets into the Big Ten tournament time, which, by the way, right now would be Purdue. It would be nice to face them not at Mackey Arena. I think everyone in the league
would only be an hour away, though. It'd only be
as long as it's not at Mackey, I feel like everyone is kind of just going to take what they've got. But if you're Nebraska and you finish up at an 8 seed, you have probably over these final 7 games won 4 of them. You know, and that gets you to 20 wins. Wilson, for you, as you look at this team, and there's a lot of the metrics are saying it, almost a lock at 19, definitely. For some of them, definitely a lock at 19, but getting to 20, they were to go 4-3 over this last stretch. You completely, that more than erases that 6-game losing streak, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's crazy that this team went from, like you said, the conversation was about missing the Big Ten tournament to back on the bubble in like 5 days between that Illinois and that Oregon game. I still can't wrap my head around it. But yeah, I mean, I think 19 wins gets Nebraska into the tournament. That's you know, at the end of the regular season, that's 9 wins in Big Ten play. And with how deep this conference is, I think that probably gets you in. You know, I think the Big Ten probably sends 9 teams or so to the tournament. Going into this, the stretch on the schedule I kept looking at, I mean, after they lost 5 straight, was the one that they're in the middle of right now, beginning with Washington, then Ohio State, Maryland, at Northwestern, at Penn State. I remember looking at that and saying that's 5 games that are all winnable. Mm-hmm. Will they win all of them? Probably not, because this is the Big Ten and the Big Ten is weird and it's hard to win. it's hard to win every game that's, you know, close to a toss up. But that was the big run that I felt like, you know, when they lost 6 straight, I remember thinking like, for them to have any chance, they need to win all 5 of those. Now, I wasn't banking at the time on them beating Illinois and Oregon, and that kind of changes the complexion of things. But I think the general point still stands of like, they're now 2 games into it. These next 3 games are all winnable. And for a team that still, you know, needs to just rack up wins and just slowly get out of this you know, hole they dug with the six game losing streak, the next three I think are pretty important.
Yeah, and Caleb brought up what they were doing defensively too, and it just, I go back to what Fred was illustrating with this team during their struggles, whether it was the defensive side. We all remember the 3-point percentage from the opposition, that is, but also just going back 2 years ago, Wilson, when we go back to the Derek Walker and Sam Griesel team, of maybe the first time we could all look at a roster and say this wasn't just built for on-court success, but also within the locker room too. And it seems like that formula has continued as far as how he pieces these rosters together year in and year out. Is there a sense of that, in your opinion, during that six-game losing skid, that, again, you've got a strong locker room, you've got a very even-keel coach that is never too high or too low, that is also probably a big factor in them being able to get that much-needed win against Illinois and now be able to ride that success, being able to handle the successful moments and also be able to get off the schneid, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how this roster was built, how this roster and last year's roster, where the kind of figureheads from a leadership standpoint were Rink Mast and Josiah Alec. Mm-hmm. And now this year, yeah, you know, Fred has said a few times just throughout the offseason, throughout the year, they wanted to get old and stay old.
Yeah,
you know, that's how they tried to build this out of the portal, is veteran guys who have been around, who know how to play college basketball, who are smart players because – you know, Nebraska can run a pretty complex offense. So, yeah, you know, just the other day, Hoiberg said he never felt like guys totally lost it during that streak, you know, like from an emotions standpoint. You know, he never felt like guys were totally down and out mentally. So, I think that absolutely has something to do with it.
Wilson, hey, we really appreciate you jumping on Husker Max today, talking a little Husker basketball. And you're not a Chiefs fan, are you?
I'm not. No, I'm
there we go. My team, you know what? Hey, I know this is a Bears show. We will allow it, you and the Purple People Eaters. Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.